So this podcast has been in a two-parter with Dawn Anderson and Jordan and Cameron and now Em as well, who is joining us.
Hi.
Hello, darling. Thank you so much for coming in and having a chat with us.
That's okay.
Now, we had to do this in two parts, really, because you'd think, wouldn't you, after we'd just been talking to Dawn and ultimately how she kind of found the helpline and then, you know, sort of talking to the boys about it and the boys getting tested. And then we sort of ended the last episode on Cameron saying, well, he tested positive and Jordan tested. Hello, gorgeous. And Jordan, you tested negative.
I did, yes.
So, you know, in some respects, you've got a beautiful bouncing little girl on your knee.
I do.
And you would think that, fine, that's great, because actually, you know, ultimately now, you know, you're caring for your brother, but you have just been told you've got type 1 diabetes, and at least you can't pass this gene on to your daughter.
Yeah, we were like, oh, this is great. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, there's a bombshell of it's not as easy as we thought, was it?
No, not quite.
No. So I think, you know, we're going to have to take this in stages, just because for anybody to be able to keep up with what you guys have been through, I think it's hard to tell because it's unbelievable. So shall we start with, right, so you got diagnosed with the diabetes.
Yes.
And then what happened next?
Well,
where do we start?
How long have you two been together?
Oh gosh, it's 10 years this year, isn't it? Wow. Since we first got together, yeah.
So you've been on the journey right from the very, very, very beginning.
Yeah.
And before we get to where sort of Jordan is now, were you aware of the BRCA gene?
Yeah.
Were you aware of it being in the family?
Yeah. Pretty much one of the first conversations me and Dawn had was about the gene. She explained it to me, and I think it was more preparing me for, you know, if I decide to stay in the family. So, yeah, I knew about it from the start and just never really fazed me. I always say I knew from the moment I met Jordan I wanted to marry him. Even though I was 16, I knew that he was my forever.
Absolute fool that you are.
Oh, no, the cutest things in the whole world. Look at me, goosenobs have gone on. That's so sweet. So, you met the love of your life. You beautiful little song there. And then you got married.
We did, yeah.
Yeah, you got married in COVID. Well, we just did. At the end of COVID. I was lucky enough to be your DJ.
It was amazing. The best wedding ever.
Oh, definitely.
To be fair, you know, like considering it had to be a certain size and you had to, it
was
really
amazing.
Really,
it really was.
And it was at the gorgeous Casa Hotel and you were very heavily pregnant.
I was, yeah.
Very heavily pregnant with this little beautiful bean that's down there who's coming back to your knee now. And then, you know, you've not long been married. Yeah, Elsie's was due in the February,
yeah.
And then you ended up very poorly.
That's putting it very lightly, yes.
Do you mind explaining? Are you okay with that?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I've explained it enough times to a lot of people. So basically, at the end of 2020 and beginning of 2021, I suffered a spinal cord injury.
Do you know how did that happen?
So pretty much on Christmas Day, Santa decided to deliver a little bit of pain in my back. And then that just progressed to be a very dull ache, which progressively got worse and worse and worse, to the point where I couldn't return to work. And then I had to go to hospital, and they found that I had a thoracic abscess on my spine caused by a staph infection. Got to make sure I include that because someone will remind me that they're not too sure on where it came from, but recently the general consensus is it's diabetes related.
Right, so it's something that you could possibly have had for some time then.
Yeah, potentially.
Yeah. And they came and they delivered you. Well, what was the news that they delivered you?
Basically that they were quite chill about it. They're just like, oh, you've got an abscess on your spine. And, you know, my knowledge of abscesses is basically from, you know, the videos you see on Facebook of people popping them and stuff like
and
that.
And your teeth.
Like, yeah. Yeah, so I was like, oh, it's no big deal. I'll be right as rain. And then they did the spinal decompression and then told me that I was paralyzed from the T6 part of the spine, and it was a complete injury, so it was all the way down.
So ultimately, just, and I'm quite sure most people are getting this, but ultimately that means you couldn't walk.
No.
And the prognosis with that is was it going to be ever?
It was, you know, I'm stuck like this now.
Yeah, it's permanent.
Yeah, it's permanent.
And you've got a baby due in a month's time.
Yes.
I mean, that's so to be delivered, you know, from 2 months previously, the most glorious wedding. You've now been told that you're going to be paralysed for life.
Yep.
You are only in your early 20s with a full life ahead of you. And this bombshell that you're never going to be able to walk again. I mean, and how are you still smiling?
I know, look, I'm both of you. I know.
Now.
Do you know what also that absolutely destroyed me for you is that we were in COVID and we'd gone into another lockdown.
Yeah.
Just after Christmas. They told us, haven't they? They said, no, you're not going out again.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, you're in the hospital.
Yes.
And we are, you know, all of us are massively following your journey. You were laughing when you was in hospital. How are you, Em?
Not great.
You are impending birth.
Yeah, I was a few weeks away from having my baby, and all I could think is, John's not going to be there. I'm going to have to do this alone. And I was absolutely terrified. And I kept absolutely praying, just stay in there as long as possible, baby. Give daddy time to get as much better as he can be. But that wasn't meant to be. I had preeclampsia, so I had to be induced. So they scheduled me in for my induction, and I'd sort of resigned myself to the fact that was it. Jordan wasn't going to be there. But Jordan's team at the hospital and my team at the hospital were absolutely amazing. They made it so Jordan was there.
They did. They shipped him over, didn't they?
They did.
Do you know, if you could have heard us all in the background going, yeah! It was like the clap for the NHS on a Thursday was sort of like just for you guys. It was like, yes, get him there, quick. We need to know the news.
I remember crying most of the time because when you get a spinal cord injury, you have to kind of wait for a bed on a spinal unit. So you're on an orthopaedic ward doing absolutely nothing. And I would get more upset about not being at my child's birth than I would me being paralysed for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
So it really was not an easy situation to be in.
No, absolutely. And like we were saying, you know, we're going through COVID at this time. There's lockdown everywhere. Hospitals are full. They're dealing with something with you that they've actually not really dealt with before. Mm. Was the kind of impression I got.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you've got your wife that's going into labour. But like we said, you did get there. You were there. How many minutes to spare? Did they get you there from the start?
So it was the day before I was due to be induced. They brought Jordan over, so he was there when I got there. And that was the first time we'd seen each other in 6 weeks.
Oh, yes. My God. Were you not allowed to go at... You wouldn't have been, would you?
No, not at all.
Because you'd have been... Yeah, you wouldn't have been allowed being pregnant.
No, I wasn't allowed in the hospital.
Oh, my goodness me. Oh, my goodness
And
me.
I remember one of the first things he said to me was, wow, your bump's huge now.
Oh, babies. Well, you know, the good news was is that you know, you did get there and you got there for the beautiful little girl who is here right now. How much longer were you in hospital for after that?
I'd say for the rest of the week, weren't it?
Oh, in Chesterfield during the rest of the week. In the spinal unit.
I was there until the middle of June.
Wow. And you went in the January.
Yes.
And you came out in the June.
Yes.
But ultimately as well, behind all of that, you need a house.
Yes.
Yeah, we hadn't got one.
No.
It was such a stress, wasn't it?
Because we lived in a small terrace house at the time, which you wouldn't have been able to fit a wheelchair in there.
Your whole life is going to change.
Oh, yeah.
Whole life, just, you know... The car, getting in and out of the house, no stairs, all of these things. Newborn baby.
Yeah, it was a lot of change in a short period of time, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we had to think about pushchair plus wheelchair plus any other equipment Jordan would need. And it was just like, I'm trying to work out being a mum, trying to work out this new life with the wheelchair. And I personally just felt like I was floundering for those first probably year.
Well, well, you did. You certainly didn't come across like that.
Thank you.
You know, and to be honest, babe, if you did have a bit of a wobble, I think you're quite entitled to, you know. And I know what it's, you know what it's like. You're wanting to be strong for her. She's wanting to be strong for you. You both wanted to be strong for the baby.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard.
It's tiring as well.
It's knackering, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. But look at you. You got each other, and it is just beautiful, and you really are smashing it. You've got this beautiful house here. I found out as well, and it was only through you getting in touch with me to talk to your sister to get her on the radio.
Yep.
That your sister had breast cancer.
She did. When she was 27, she was diagnosed with breast cancer.
Right, okay, so when did that happen?
So it was in the April, just after Elsie was born. So the same year that everything was happening. The worst year.
How do you take that in? Because you're in a situation of knowledge now.
Yeah, at the time, I felt like my world was falling apart. My sister is my best friend. She's everything. She's my partner in crime. We always say that we're twins 5 years apart because we are so close. And when you hear the word cancer, you think, that's it, they're going to die. And I was convinced, wasn't I, from the start, that's it, my sister's going to die. I'm going to lose my sister. And it broke me. I struggled so much. But my sister was convinced, my sister Vicky, she was convinced that, no, this is not going to beat me. I'm going to win. And she just did it just amazingly. She always said that she was going to win, and she did.
And there's no, just to point it out, there was no known gene fault. You talked about the gene with Dawn,
yep.
And about it being on Jordan's side.
Yeah.
But as far as your family is concerned.
Yeah, we didn't know. We'd lost my dad to mesothelioma, which is lung cancer caused by asbestos, in 2019. But that kind of, it didn't tally up as being connected because my dad's was related to the asbestos and my sister's was breast cancer. So we didn't sort of see a link until we started to look a bit closer and think, well, is there a link? You know, why is my sister so young with this? And it was actually Vicky's idea to get tested. And she got tested through the genetics team at the hospital.
So were you ultimately going to go and get tested for BRCA? Or a hereditary breast cancer gene?
Yes.
That you would
think.
There
are so many genes.
Yeah, that's what I mean. A gene.
Yeah.
So how is your sister now?
Amazing. She's just doing so well. She's finished a chemo, finished a radiotherapy. She's got a hormone therapy for the next 10 years, but that's nothing compared to the battle she's fought. She's getting married at the end of this month.
Yay!
They've just bought a house together. She's absolutely smashing life.
I love that.
Oh, she's my hero.
It's beautiful news. But of course, you know, you went to see the geneticist and you went to go and have these. What were you expecting?
So they wouldn't test me to start with. They tested my sister. And it came back that she'd got Li-Fraumeni or TP53, and I'd never heard of that. I was expecting BRCA if it was going to be anything, because that's the only one I'd heard of. So when we got this really complicated name back for what it was just like, oh well, that's another thing to try and learn about.
Can you explain what TP? Okay. I'll be honest with you, but until you know you, I'd not heard of it.
No, TP53 is. It's very uncommon, but the problem is with TP53 is that it's not just breast or ovarian cancer. It can be any cancer, and it can actually affect in children as well, which is not what BRCA does. And that's the scary part of it all. But TP53, if you manage to get to the right hospital with somebody who has got that fault, they will do MRI annually, which has to be double red. So you have to have two, I never know whether they're radiologists or radiographers, who read the result, read the MRI, the full body scan. And that's to keep you safe and to try and catch any sarcomas that turn up or whatever. Because it's not just breast cancer.
No, it's complicated.
So they've told you this then?
Yeah. So initially, my sister was diagnosed with it, and it was a bit of a faff getting me tested. So they wouldn't test me to start with. They tested my mum, and hers came back as negative. She was fine. So then they started looking on my dad's side, and luckily they'd still got some of his blood in storage.
It's mad how they do that, isn't it? Just save that for later.
Yeah, and I'm glad they did.
Yeah, 100%.
So his came back as positive, so he'd got it as well. So then now they decided that they'd test me, and they tested me just before Christmas. So I had the whole Christmas period thinking, oh God, what's going to happen? What's it going to come back as? And it came back as positive. I'd got the gene as well.
My goodness me.
I mean, you know, how can any family be so unlucky? It's just, it just takes your breath away, this story. It really does. I can't even talk about it.
I always like to turn things on their head, right? Because I can't deal with negativity. I can't deal with it, right? So, you know, I'm just going to say that I know mum's been straight on it for you, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that, you know, you are going to be okay. Do you know what I mean? But that doesn't help sort of mentally. But I think it's just really important that you know we're always here.
I'm very grateful that I joined Jordan's family, because if I didn't, I wouldn't have this support network. I'd be floundering on my own thinking, where do I go now? What do we do? But because I joined Jordan's family and I knew Dawn, that means I met you guys. Oh. So the way that fate sort of set it up is actually really amazing.
Well, I came over here, I remember saying, look, I'll come and meet you because there's things we can do. And I came over here, spoke to Vicky, your sister was here, and her partner, soon to be husband. Yeah. And it was a delight to meet her as well. I'd actually met her at Vicky's, your auntie's, it was a party that was organised.
It was Dawn's.
The dog's party.
Of course it was, yeah.
Of course it was, yes. Yeah. And I did actually meet her there, which was lovely. And she was so positive.
She is.
But at that point, there was no idea about any gene or anything like that. It did cross my mind. I thought, you know, you're young to have got breast cancer. But, you know, I'm not a bit of a doom merchant. We thought, let's see what happens. She's doing well. And so when I found out and that you had got TP53 fault, I thought, you know, this needs to be looked after by specialist care. Yeah. You can't just go to any common or garden hospital. You need to be somewhere where they're going to have facilities also to be able to test your children. They don't normally test children, but children of a TP53 family are entitled to be tested because of the risk of childhood cancers.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to say she's going to get that, but we do need to.
We need to know.
We need to look after her.
Definitely.
We need to look after you. Yeah. And as soon as I came here, I hoped I reassured you that I would get you to Manchester.
Definitely.
Because it is a centre of excellence. It really is.
Yeah.
I managed to get somebody else there from the other side of Birmingham, because where she was, they didn't do the full body MRI scans. And that's important. They have to be read by two people so that nothing is missed. Mm. And we've managed to get you there. It's just a matter of you actually getting your doctor to do the referral.
Yep.
But they are also in Manchester setting up a specialist childhood, centre for children to be monitored.
Oh, that's brilliant. Wow.
So you will also be able to keep Elsie monitored. Let's hope that she hasn't inherited the fault.
We can hope.
Yeah, that's obviously a massive hope. But if she is, let's look at what we have to do, and we have to keep both of you protected.
Yes, we do.
That's exactly it. How are you feeling, Jordan? It's just everything. You're dealing with what you're dealing with, and you're doing it.
It's a lot. I'm dealing with a lot of things from this spinal cord injury that is, you know, just things behind the scenes. It's causing me to suffer from fatigue. So I've got that going for me, and I've not had time to process that yet. I'm scared to process that because, you know, I had this, and then my main focus was, right, I need to get to the spinal unit, get as well as I can, do what I need to do, get out. Okay, I'm out. Okay, I need to look after my wife because she's my carer, so she's going to get tired. Have to look after my baby. I have to get myself strong so I can support myself. And so I've not had time to think about this yet. And then when Em came home with the news that she was, you know, diagnosed with Leigh-Fraile many, I was just like, right, okay, that's right. I need to focus on her now. Mm. That I've just not had 5 minutes to think about anything. It's just constant, let's sort this out.
So just pull up those big girl pants again. It's the same times you can do it. Do you know what I mean?
It's like, it's tiring for like, because at the same time, you've been focusing on me more so than yourself. Yeah. And obviously when we went to the charity ball, you had to step outside for a minute, because that's when reality really did dawn on you.
I realised how serious it was, and I had to focus on myself for a minute, and I'm not used to having to do that. I'm the one that looks after people, not the one that needs to be looked after.
There's something sort of quite dramatic about that, and it's because vulnerability kicks in.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you know what I mean? And that feeling is quite a hard one to deal with.
It is, definitely.
Mum's the same. I mean, you can never be vulnerable, can you?
I'm afraid I just have to keep looking after other people. I'm no good whatsoever. Do you know what? You know when I had that brain tumour, I was embarrassed to tell people that I'd got a brain tumour because I didn't want people feeling sorry for me. It was only after I got through it. And then that's it. Yeah, well, you know.
It was the size of a cricket ball, and then she became a different woman altogether.
Bigger than.
So, guys, you know, listen, we totally respect you. We're here for you, as is everybody. There was something that we wanted to do sort of through this podcast as well, is and I think sometimes it always comes back down to being grateful, you know. And I always have to give my head a wobble and go, I'm so grateful for these things. I'm so grateful for the experiences that I have and the things that I get to do, and I want to share that. I want to share these things with people, and we've got a bit of a gift for you to brighten your journey, if that's okay. We've been to I went and met the wonderful Julie from Gulliver's, you know, Gulliver's Resort.
And
she showed me around and everything, and I was telling her about you because it's only sort of down the road. And she would love you to go and have a stay there with Elsie for a night.
Thank you so much.
A day around the park, a couple of days around the park. Yeah, take the family and everything.
That's amazing. Thank you.
So much. All right.
It's just a little tiny little thing, you know. But we just want to be able to brighten your journey as much as we can.
That's
so
amazing. Thank you so much.
Listen, it's nothing. It really isn't, and it's just, like I say, it's a big thank you to Julie for doing that. But I don't think anybody could ever turn you guys down. You know, we hope it. We will. Well, it won't be the last thing that we do for you. Okay.
Thank you
so much.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. Early detection improves chances that breast cancer can be located, diagnosed, and treated successfully. Be breast aware with Aware Self-Examination Kit. Proud sponsors of the Mother and Daughter Breast of Friends podcast.